I'm strapped up.
Nothing. What was that about?
Let's make the fight happen. We strapped the fuck up.
Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 190 of Stresses and Podcast. I'm your host, Cam.
Host Flows.
And you know the drill by now, guys. If you want to get involved with discussion on Twitter, use the hashtag Stress Season. I want to head over to our Instagram page, the Stress Season Podcast, or our Twitter page, Stress Season Pod. Link in the bio on both those pages that will take you to where we're situated at streaming-wise. So Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the major ones. YouTube is there as well. If you prefer video, make sure you do that for us, guys, please. Super important. Cheers. Flows, yeah. Recording this on a Monday night. How you doing?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
Yeah. All good. Another week. You know how it is, man. You know how it goes. But you know we never lack on this pod. We always got to come and give something for the week to hold listeners down. There was only one card of note, I think, Flows, that we can go through from the weekend. That was on Saturday. That was a Matchroom to Zone card over in Vegas. And that was headlined by Richardson Hitchens, who was up against, is it Daniel Lemos?
Lemos. What's his first name? I can't remember.
I thought it was Daniel, but maybe I'm wrong there. Gustavo, I said Daniel. Gustavo Lemos, yes. Gustavo. Where the hell did I get Daniel from? Anyways, yeah. Richardson Hitchens, a guy on our prospect list, a guy I'm a big fan of, that I've mentioned a few times, coming off a really strong win against Jose Zepeda, where he just completely outboxed him, to be honest. And this was seen as another test, Flows, because Lemos is an undefeated fighter. You know these unknown quantities, these unknown Hispanic fighters. But we've seen him before. He beat the brakes off Lee Selby a couple of years ago. So that's where we remember him from. But
his middle name's Daniel. That's what you get from.
Ah, thank you. See, I went bugging. I don't know, I just dropped the Gustavo, but yeah, I know I saw Daniel somewhere. Anyways, yeah. So Flows, he's coming with obviously a bit of a banana skin reputation, right? Because undefeated Argentinian fighters, we know they have a reputation of just being tough as nails and just being hard work anyways. But Richardson Hitchens was meant to see as the quality, someone that was going to, maybe not sell through, but show his class again like he did with Zepeda and come through this fairly unscathed. Flows, I think it's fair to say, obviously, the complete opposite happened. Gustavo Daniel Lemos came here wanting to win. He came here for a scrap. He came here to fight. And he really stuck it on Richardson Hitchens, who's seen as quite a slippery, slick boxer, right, Flows?
Mm.
He dragged him into a fight that he didn't want to be dragged into, boy. And it was a tough night's work. Let's put it that way, Flows. A tough night's work for Richardson. Bro, I'm watching this Lemos guy, right, Flows? And I didn't even have to know he was Argentinian to know he was Argentinian. Because I'm just seeing, you know what I'm saying, Flows? Because
think about how to see the fighters. He's exactly the same.
I'm literally seeing Marcus Maidana, Lucas Matisse, and Brian Castaño. I'm literally seeing that in this guy. If I wasn't privy to his nationality beforehand, Flows, if I'd seen this blind, right, and then just not, just watching the heads up for the first time, and said, guess where he's from? I would have said straight away, Argentina. They all have that same style, Flows.
Yeah. If it was like Stickman fighting and you were like, oh, where's he from?
Or if they're wearing morph suits or something, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like, yeah.
Bro, that Argentinian style is heavy and it's flipping long to deal with. Maidana and Matisse were known back in the day, what weight division and light weight in 140-pound division, knockout kings. Remember, they were knocking everyone out at one point, Flows. Brian Castaño, as we saw, he's got a bit quiet since the loss, I want to see more of him. But anyways, Castaño, as we know, he gave Charlo hell. He unified the titles at 154. Very, very good fighter. These Argentinian fights tend to be short, stocky, bloody powerful and strong, and they put it on you for the entire night. For relentless.
Close the gap.
Close the distance and just look to it. Their one goal is close this distance, go to work. That's it, Floyd. Go to work.
Land and big shots to the body, to the head.
Bro.
They're swinging. really swinging.
Brother, they're long to deal with. And this guy, same mode. But yeah, go on.
I just wanted to say, and he cut the ring off bloody well.
Very, very well.
He was cut. They don't just chase shadows. They really want to stay in front of you. Yeah. So they're cutting the ring off. They're not following you around. They're staying in front of you, cutting the ring. And let me just say, Lemos was doing this. He was staying in front of Richardson Hitchens and cutting the ring off and making sure, because Richardson Hitchens has got good footwork. But he wasn't letting him really move and get out of there. He was pinning him against the ropes, pinning him in corners. Good success doing it.
Yeah. I mean, the first couple of rounds, Floyd, I think round two is where Lemos really started to give this guy help. And the first couple, obviously, Richardson Hitchens obviously has a noticeable size and reach advantage, I guess. As I said, these Argentinian guys tend to be a bit short and stocky. And Richardson Hitchens, as we saw against the Pedro Flores, has a very good jab. He's very good at jabbing and moving. That's one of his strengths. His jabbing and movement whilst he's jabbing, staying out of range, being slippery, is usually very good. First couple of rounds now, Flores, the jab advantage that Richardson Hitchens has completely been taken away and nullified by this guy, Flores, based on the way that this guy's cutting off the ring and being on his chest. That Richardson Hitchens can't even get the jab commanding. He can't even command the jab very well. And this guy is right in front of him, cracking him to the body, cracking him to the head, and just being all over him like a rash, Flores. I'm thinking to myself, rah. Obviously, knowing the type of fighter Richardson Hitchens is, this is not what his game plan is. This is not what he's not trying to get into a scrap. He's trying to outbox his guy and not take too much punishment. But this guy was forcing the issue so much, Flores, and his ring cutting off was so good that this guy couldn't even get the jabs off. Crazy. Crazy, yeah. Crazy, crazy. So he was giving him hell the first couple of rounds, Flores. The first couple of rounds, he was giving him real hell. Like, first three or four rounds, I was like, wow. He's mauling him even. He's trying to maul him. And you're seeing Richardson Hitchens having to rely on then just grabbing him. Just grabbing and holding and just trying to grab and hold him just to nullify the onslaught and barrage of just like activity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And look, credit to Richardson, he was getting off his own work as well in portions. But he's the favourite, so you expected that him to do that. He was expected to dominate. But he was holding when he needed to, trying to pivot out when he needed to, was landing some of his shots. He had the quicker hands, I'd say. But the fight wasn't going the way he wanted it to go. It's as simple as that. He was having to fight Lemos's fight in more portions than he would like to. But it was an entertaining fight. You'd like to see these fighters in uncomfortable positions.
I'm glad you pointed out that this was uncomfortable for him. And this is not what he was dragged into something he didn't want to be dragged into. And also how you say he was fighting Lemos's fight, Flows. I want to talk about the story. You know, we like to talk about stories of fights.
Yeah.
Story, you're watching that, Flows. Story of the fight has you thinking that Lemos is really, really going to town here and winning this fight because of the fact that, to me, Flows, I'm watching this fight. Richardson Hitchens, in my opinion, what I could see, I'm saying he's landing more shots. He's actually landing more punches here. However, when I said about the story, the big shots, the eye-catching shots, the fact that you're seeing Richard Hitchens get hurt a few times, head bop back, it's all coming from Lemos. So the volume's going to Richardson, in my opinion. I think he's landing more shots, but the eye-catching shots, the power shots, the ones that are looking to have more impact are coming from our Argentinian friend Flores. And that's obviously when we get to the decision and whatnot and the reaction, I think the story definitely went in Lemos's favour, Flores. Definitely went in his favour. But I actually went to check because I said, I'm not bugging here. I believe Richardson is actually outlanding this guy. I went and checked the CompuBox stats, Flores, and the stats backed me up. Hitchens landed 37% of his work, whereas Lemos landed 27% of his work. So, and overall, yes, Hitchens outlanded. Lemos outthrew him a bit, but obviously overall, Hitchens outlanded him.
In terms of power punches, Lemos landed him in terms of power punches because that's what he was throwing.
He went. And I will say this is middle portion of the fight flows. I think Richardson Hitchens gets kind of into a rhythm a little bit. Yeah, and he starts building rides. He's finally able to establish a jab well, and that's helping him. Obviously, we know when it comes to an outside boxing chess match, Hitchens is going to beat this guy hands down. So he was able to, you know, and he was able to pick his shots well. And I think Nemos actually slowed down a little bit because obviously he's a lot of output. So he kind of slowed down. That's when Richard Hitchens kind of picked him off a little bit. But Lemos did have another good round towards the end. Round eight. Do you remember? Yeah. That was a great round because, again, Hitchens has gone through hell in this round, but he's also then shown that he can fight because Lemos, towards the end of the round, flows gassed out. And that's when Hitchens started coming back and started throwing his punches. So that was a really exciting round to watch. And Hitchens got dragged into a fight that he didn't want to get dragged into. But I'm happy that he didn't wilt, I guess. Obviously, it wasn't his best performance flows and it was a scrappy win. Obviously, we'll just talk about the win in the end. But, you know, he showed that he was willing to, okay, if I have to get down, I don't want to, but I've got no choice. I'll do it. I'm just not going to give up. I'll do it. You know what I mean? So I'm happy I saw that from him.
Yeah, but that round eight
was
peak. It was stressful for Hitchens because he got rocked. He was holding on for dear life. I feel.
Was he warned? I feel like I can't remember.
He was warned.
Yeah, he was. Okay, yeah, cool.
It wasn't like a.
Because he was holding a lot for us. He was holding a lot.
It was excessive holding, I'll be real. It was excessive holding.
He was holding a lot, I can't lie. So, yeah.
It was excessive holding.
He got lucky.
He won a stern warning, he got, but that was excessive holding. And on another day,
he got lucky.
He could have been in trouble. I think because he was hurt early in the round. I remember looking at the time and it was probably like two minutes to go
when
he was rocked. Yeah. So he was holding for pretty much 2 minutes up until maybe the last 30 seconds where Lemos got tired and he rallied, fair play to him, he rallied back because he was wobbling and rocky. But it was excessive holding for a round. So it would have been harsh to deduct a point, but we've seen them deducted before.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
He was holding every single time.
Bro, that round was hell for him.
Yeah,
and it's funny because that had just come off the back of when he put a couple of rounds together and being in the rhythm, but he got caught early, and then boom, it was, you know, Lemos gets that second win and starts going crazy or trying to. Did you put Clarissa Shields on commentary flows?
I was literally about to say this. She was kidding me
because she's meant to be non-biased and stuff. And she's there saying, get your hands up, bro, get your hands up, get your hands up. She's there trying to give advice for your commentary position. I'm reading myself, you're meant to be not biased here. And she even admitted, she's like, I can't do commentary because I just start going to coach the guys I like and my guys.
Yeah.
Which is what she was doing. Yeah.
She was coaching, but she was killing me with her ad-libs. She was like, Jesus.
Oh my goodness. No. Wow.
And she was like,
she wouldn't say anything, by the way. She wouldn't give any insight. She would just go, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Wow.
Oh my goodness.
Oh God.
I need more from her commentary because she was funny.
People were killing her, by the way. They were not a fan of her commentary.
But you know, it's different. That's why I enjoyed it. It was cracking me up. She was killing me up. And she was coaching Hitchens there. She clearly wanted him to win. Which
she couldn't get it behind it.
I'm not too mad because everyone, if you know Clarissa, you know that she rides for whoever she's riding for.
Yeah, for real.
Not too bad. But yeah, look, good fight. Lemos rallied back because, like you say, I think Hitchens was building some rounds together. But that round eight was peak. And then I feel from that portion on, it was pretty much close up until the end of the fight. So that second, that's what we have from the eighth to the end kind of just made it just tight. I think it just made it very tight. Swing rounds, close rounds.
It's a very close fight. We come to the scorecards now, obviously. And I think two of the scorecards were 115, 111. No, 115, 113, two of the scorecards. So that's 7-5 each way, which I can see. That's fine. I gave it to Richard just on the premise of that I felt he landed the most. But I was thinking it was going to be a draw. But again, 7-5 each way, it was that kind of fight. It was super close. Obviously, there's always one scorecard that lets us down, Flores. We know how it is. One of the scorecards was 117, 111. Which is egregious, Flows. Absolutely egregious. Richardson's got the UD, but that 117, 111 scorecard, Flows, again, I don't know how. I genuinely don't know how. For either fighter, if my man got 170, yeah. I'll be like, what? If and yeah. Richardson's, they get one, I'm like, what? That was a closest fight. That was a super close fight for us. How are you seeing that? I just don't get it, man. I just don't get it.
117, 111 is crazy. I could have seen it. It could have gone either way, but close. I think these scorecards make the discourse worse or the backlash worse.
Exactly that,
when
exactly
you have a scorecard like this, because a lot of people had Lemos winning.
Yes.
A lot of people did. In fact, when I didn't watch it live at the time. Yeah. When I got online and I saw it, people were saying Lemos won. Yeah. Yeah. They were killing Hitchens. They were saying Hitchens lost that. And I think it's most of the times it's a reaction to a bad scorecard. To be fair, some people who aren't casual said they had it close and Lemos just nicking it. They don't mind seeing Hitchens win it or its draw. But then the outrage in general was, I believe, because of that 117-111 scorecard, and people saying Lemos was robbed.
Close, 100%.
Based on that.
It's because of that 117-111 close, which is why people have the chest and the anger to shout robbery, robbery, robbery. Because of that scorecard. Because that scorecard was so bad that they're thinking, oh, this guy was doomed to fail regardless, because you're given 117-111. He was never going to win. He generally had to stop this guy from breathing for you guys to give him his credit. I think if it was 115-113 throughout flows, there wouldn't be as much shouts of Robbie. Yeah, probably some people say, oh no, Lemos got unlucky, he won that fight. But the overall outrage flows would be a lot less, in my opinion, for sure. So these scorecards are making things worse, 100%.
Yeah. Because if it was a split decision, or people wouldn't be too mad. But
even a draw flows. Like, people wouldn't be mad at a draw.
Even a draw, but 117-111 doesn't make sense.
Crazy.
It simply doesn't. See, boxing, scoring's hard, because you could say you're basically giving him every close round to Hitchens, and you could argue, like, let me jump into the fence of that scorecard. Actually, no, you can't. You can't. What's that? How many rounds are you giving him then? Three rounds?
Yeah. Was it two? It's three. Yeah.
Three rounds is what you're saying. What I wanted to say, what I was going to argue, is that, okay, he won three rounds convincingly. But I think he won four convincingly. In my sense, I think he won four fairly. Like, and maybe the other rounds were close. Maybe it's hard to argue. It's hard to argue. But once again, it's all subjective. So, and remember, these judges are getting one angle that they're watching it from.
Yeah, true.
So who knows what they're seeing, but what I did want to defend is say maybe he sees three convincing rounds for Lemos, and then the rest were close, and he gives all the close rounds to Hitchens.
Yeah.
And that's why scorecards can end up looking wide, even though a fight's close, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's all I can try to defend. It's just a bad scorecard.
We've spoken so many times about some of these scoring, just bringing the sport into a bit disrepute and whatnot, but it's going to keep. We've also said before, it's going to keep happening. We're going to keep, there'll always be other fights where we talk about scoring and how we will see one or two bad cards or whatever. It is what it is. But one thing for sure, Flows, Richardson Hitchens, he got away with one, in the sense that it was a banana skin opponent. He could have easily lost that. He could have lost that fight. He might put it through and get the result. But yes, as you said, Flows, he was getting killed. And I have an idea as to why he was getting killed, because I think it stems back from the previous fight, obviously. They've already attached a boring tag to him a little bit, because obviously he scored Zepeda, outboxed him, but a lot of people, a highly skilled fighter and a highly skilled performance usually gets thrown with a boring tag, because he boxed and moved. He didn't stand there and train with Zepeda, who, that's what Zepeda would have wanted. But also, I think as well, because obviously Flores beforehand now, Richardson Hitchens has had certain names in his mouth. He's been quite bullish in terms of You know, we know he's had back and forth with Devin Haney many times. He's talked about how he's better than all these guys and how he's ready for a title shot. Boom, 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 this. Yeah. He's been, you know, he's been typical New York, right? And, you know, he's like, it's my time now. So you've said all that, but then you're having this performance. People already itched, well, ready. And he kind of gave him a last layup for them to kill him. And it's really funny to me, Flows. This is why sometimes humility is a big thing, because before the fight, I was watching Hitchens. And he was there saying, yeah, you know, I'm ready for a title shot. Once I get through this, you know, I'm coming for all these belts. I'm coming for all these straps. Blah, blah. He was talking heavy, Flows. Talking heavy.
Yeah, he was. He was.
I watched his interviews afterwards, Flows. This guy's now talking about, yeah, maybe, you know, because now he's mandatory for Subaru Matias, by the way. He's now mandatory for the IBF.
Yep.
But he was there saying, you know, maybe one or two more fights before I then go for before I go for Matias, blah, blah. He's now, realized, yes, exactly that, Flows. He's realized, obviously, the Zepeda win was nice for him on his resume, but let's keep it a buck, Flows. As we saw 2 weeks ago, we can say that it is an over-the-hill Zepeda. Because the Zepeda of a whole maybe would have given him more hell. Who knows? But we've just seen Zepeda get knocked out in, what, 4 or 5 rounds in Sheffield. So it's not the same Zepeda. But nice having a new resume. But obviously, he's there talking big like he's ready for the next step now. This Lemos fight learned him, boy. He realized that, yo, there's still I'm still young. There's still room to grow here. I'm only, what, 16 fights in? No need to rush. And it's quite apparent, Flows. There's still a bit of level stream to go to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Him now, you know, copping please a little bit and be like, you know what? Maybe not now. Let me not call out Devin or talk to him. Let me just, you know, get 1 or 2 fights under my belt before I then tackle Matias. Great. Or whoever else it's going to be. But, yeah, his demeanor has changed, Flows. Let's put it that way. Humbled.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Sometimes you get a bit gas beating the foods that you're meant to beat in your early career.
Yeah.
You're doing well in sparring, you're doing well in camp, you've been doing well your whole career. You step in there with someone who really sticks on you, and then you realize there's more to learn.
Lose, you get banged. What Tyson say? Everyone has a plan, so they get banged in the face, right? Yeah. So Pay didn't really bang him, but Zalibos did.
Look, he got through it. He got, I want to say a gift, because I thought he won as well, but it is a gift because it could have gone against you. It simply could have gone against you. And no one would have been mad at it. So, keep learning. There's no need to rush.
There isn't. He's young as well. He's like, what, 24 or whatever? So he's got time. I just think he wants to get in the mix, obviously, because he knows these guys. He knows that, you know, all these men know each other. They've all sparred each other. Devin, Teofimo's, him, they all know Shakur. They all know each other.
FaceTime him during the fight.
FaceTime
his corner.
So these men all know each other. And I feel like, obviously, because them other men have got it popping in the moment, he's trying to jump in and, you know, show that he's take time, bro. They're still going to be there. You're going to get some. Just chill. They're still going to be there anyway. So you're all about the same age. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. But happy he got the dub anyways, Flows. More learning for him. No shame in that. We keep it moving. And Lemos, I do hope to see him again. He was good.
Yeah,
I like these Argentinian guys, man. They don't play around, Flows.
Sure.
Worth mentioning on the undercard, Flows, Diego Pacheco, one of the guys who is on our prospect list. He had also tough fight, Flows, against caught the highlights of it against Sean McCalman, who was a tricky super middleweight opponent, very tricky, Flows. But yeah, another close fight. Some people say Pacheco lost, but I think most people, majority, went with him. But that McCalman guy, Flows, very, very slick. Undefeated as well. Some of these hard opponents, folks, some of these banana skins, it's tough, but somehow you go dig deep and show adjustments and just get through it and then not see them again. That's it, really.
Yeah, that McCormick looked tricky. He was undefeated as well. Looked quick, sharp.
So, did you see his reach?
Yeah. It's
same reach as AJ, I think. It's like crazy reach. Crazy dimension.
And it was able to reach. It was It was because sometimes you look at these stats and you think it's wrong. You sometimes think, yeah, that's wrong.
But yeah, his reach was legit. I saw it and I thought, whoa, anomaly.
His reach was legit. Which is nuts. Because Pacheco is what, 5'10"?
Six four.
We're talking about 5'10". Yeah, 6 foot
this,
plus.
But this guy was like 6 foot.
Yeah. I'm thinking of what's his name? Hitchens is 5'10". Pacheco.
Hitchens is 5'10". Yeah.
But he had the longer reach than Pacheco.
But
yeah, Pacheco made adjustments.
Yes.
He kind of got messy, but he was very sneaky with his inside fight at Pacheco. As soon as the ref says break, as soon as they step away from each other, boom, he's throwing and he was catching him a few times, and then his mid-range 1-2 was landing in between those breaks. So yeah, he changed the style of the fight and it worked to his advantage.
And towards the end, I had him pulling away because of that adjustment he made. That's when he kind of went. McCallman faded a little bit, and that's when he started to get caught more with big shots. And but that McCallman guy is good, though. Very, very tricky opponent. Hard night's work for anyone. But yeah, I don't think Pacheco's in any rush to face him again because them banana skins can be ruthless, man. It can be lethal.
Oh.
And shout out Sky Nicholson Flows. She won the fight. She's now a champion.
Yeah.
Shout out to her, man. She's cold, man. She's gold. Oh. But yeah, cool night for the zone. Let's move on to next week, Flows, because two cards to mention, really. We have Jordan Gill versus Upper Barrett Flows over here in the UK. Jordan Gill, that's not for any belts or anything. I think that's just a fight. Obviously, Jordan Gill has lost twice. So is Upper Barrett as well. So I guess it's kind of a big fight for both of them. I don't really have a horse in this one, Flows, to be honest. I do like Zoffa, though. I'm a fan of Zoffa, so I'll probably lean towards him. But that's a decent fight for Saturday night, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good fight. Good domestic fight. Jordan Gill's had some good... He didn't beat recently. What's his name? What's his name? The guy keeps getting knocked out.
Mick Conlon. Conlon, yes.
Yeah, which was a good win. So for Barrett's, his losses were tough losses. This is a good fight. I think it should be an entertaining one, and the winner can go on for bigger and better. The loser is strong to see where they go. If he go loses, he might as well call it a day go, to be honest. Actually, that's harsh. There's still domestic fights
here
for the loser.
I agree, Flos. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, good fight. I'm looking forward to that one, actually.
Yeah. Undercard as well. Ellie Scott needs defending her titles against undefeated lady called Lefebvre. I think she might be, probably sounds French or something. Where's she from? Yeah. Ellie Scott, we rock with her. She should win that. She's defending both of her titles. So shout out to her on that one. But the card I want to talk about properly, Flows, is, as I said earlier, your guy, Jared Big Baby Anderson. You've been killing him for a while, Flows, but we've got him in the ring now. And there's no denying that he's a talented boxer. Even though his antics outside the box I know irks you, inside the ring, Flows, he is a talent. No, there's no doubt about that. He's up against Riyad Mehri, I don't know if they remember or whatnot, but he recently came off a win against Tony Yoka. He's a Belgian fighter. He was a cruiserweight, Riyad Mehri, but it seems like he's now moved up to heavyweight to try and compete. So he's on the smaller side, so he's only 5'11 Flows. But yeah, decent opponent for Mr. Anderson. Obviously, we've made calls for Anderson to step up his competition. I think Anderson's best opponent on his resume was probably what, Charles Martin? I'll probably say Charles. And Charles Martin actually gave a good fight. I think that's his only fight that went the distance.
Yeah, that went the distance, yeah.
Yeah, that's his, yeah. And that's his only fight that went the distance. But to be fair, Charles Martin isn't terrible, but yeah.
He is. Charles is very awkward. He looks...
Very awkward.
Yeah,
he's weird.
Weird, but...
He's actually quite a good... There's like, a boxing brain in there. I was going to say, if you actually watch him, he's actually a decent, competent boxer, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's got good timing, good counter shots, but yeah, he's just, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he actually gave Anderson, like, that was the first time we saw Anderson actually take adversity and get hit and whatnot. So yeah, we've been making calls for Anderson to step up his competition, and this is definitely a along those lines flow to step up in Riyad Mahrez, who has only, well, Riyad Mahrez, his losses are to Guma Larian and Kevin Lorena. Wait, last year. Obviously, Lorena, to be fair, isn't terrible. You know, he gave Mr. Dubois hell, didn't he? So, so he's actually decent. So, yeah.
Gave decent fight flows.
You're actually a nasty guy, you know. But, yeah. I'm expecting Anderson to make a statement as he tends to do flows. You know, my thing for Anderson is, my message to him flows, I just want him to focus on the ring activity. Forget all the distractions outside the ring. Just stick to your craft flows and just do what you got to do with the ring.
You're calling him to do something. He's not interested in doing it. He's not interested in this sport, really, truly, man.
Flows, are you looking for anything in particular for him on Saturday night?
Not really. I expect him to win. Because the in-ring stuff is what's impressed us. What's caught our attention. But hearing him outside the ring about his opinions of the sport, his plans for the sport, and his antics away from the sport, man, keep feeding him these type of fighters because he don't really want it.
Oh man, I'll be intrigued for
a long time.
You know what? It's even funny. The last blow up was obviously the whole the crash thing or whatever, and he had the run against Top Rank. And then 5 minutes later, a few moments later, this guy's there copping pleas. I apologize to my team at Top Rank. They did a great job, you know. But yeah, I know Uncle Bob. I never received that phone call from Big Bob. Just said, he told him, you better take that back. Pattern up. Okay, so we're intrigued to hear what he's going to be like post-fight if he wins. I'm expecting him to win, Flows. Post-fight, I want to hear his plans. What he wants to do, what he wants to achieve. Because they'll ask me inevitable, you know, who do you want next? Do you think you're ready for a title shot? I want to see who he calls out and, you know, what he talks about next. If he gives me definitive, like, yo, I want this guy, I'm looking to win titles, cool. But if I hear the, I don't know, man, it is what it is, whatever, man, I'll just do whatever. They'll be like, fair, yeah, this guy, Jeremy, does not give a damn about this sport, which is a shame because he's close, he's gifted. I'm not going to take that away from him, he's gifted.
Look, I think There's Saudi money in the pot now. Saudis are putting big money in there.
Yeah.
You need to be talking. You need to get yourself in the mix.
Facts. And he was there. Remember, he was there. The first one, he was there.
Yeah. So look, there's names out there that you should be banging on doors. Look at the boy. He's not even a talking guy. And he's eating now.
He's calling man out now.
Yeah. So I look. The other big baby, Miller.
Yep.
That'll be battle a great fight.
Battle for the name.
That'll be a great fight.
Yeah.
The Dubois got him out of there. You can make a statement with a Miller.
Yeah.
In fact, that's a nice, easy fight for you to win. A Gerald Miller. And it boosts your name hugely if you beat a Miller.
Mm. Okay. I agree.
Yeah, that's what I want for him next.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, not fair enough.
That's an easy fight. I'm not asking too much, bro. I'm even helping you.
It's funny because he now calls himself, I think he's made a little alteration to his nickname. I think he's now called the real big baby. It's not just because before it was big baby, but now it's the real big baby.
I'm not sure they had a little back and forth, but I saw...
I think they did.
I saw Miller talking about him, saying, yeah, that's my son. The storyline's
there. I can't lie, it won't take much to move that needle. It won't take much at all. Miller is volatile.
They're both goons.
I don't even know if Big Baby Anderson's a goon, but the way he's talking about, well, he's a goon towards light welterweights.
Both, they're up gun charges. Oh, yeah. What's up? Wait, he's just been arrested.
Yeah, I don't. No, wait. Oh, yeah, Anderson did. Yeah, you're right. Anderson did. I forgot. Yeah, he did. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Jerome Miller is. Yeah. I know he's actually a good. But yeah, I completely forgot about Anderson got caught with guns. Fair. This guy's mad. You know what? They just need to keep this guy active because clearly, when he's not active, flows, he just does rubbish outside the ring. He hasn't fought since last year, August, and all the things that have come up since then. You can see maybe he's just too. He's one of their managers. You just have to keep in the gym, man. Because if not, if he's left to his own devices, flows, he starts moving mad.
Yeah. He's a very good fight as well.
Too funny. But yeah, that's it really, flows. So yeah, short one.
Speaking of American fighters, I don't know if you caught it. David Benavidez burst on the zone.
Yeah. And they're saying that, funny because my brother, they were saying how the zone did it on purpose. They knew he was burst, and they've gone and interviewed him to make him look bad. Do you know how funny that is?
And his apology, that was too funny. They probably did do it on purpose.
Close, he was fried.
This is the BBC. When you turn up the fights, drunk yourself. Yeah, this is the zone I'm guilty.
Yeah, that. It's... Wait, I didn't even know he dropped an apology for us. He's basically saying,
He said that he was drunk. He had a few too many drinks and
I'm finished.
He apologizes to his fans for his conduct. It won't ever happen again.
Well, the thing is, yeah, this is Benavidez, by the way, because he's notorious. It's actually, it's not even a secret, Flores. He's missed weights before. They've said he doesn't live the life very well outside the ring.
Yeah.
He balloons in weight. He got done for cocaine.
Yep.
So I'm almost like, this is not surprising. Like, this is actually him. Like, he's they've said, I've heard bare stories about how outside the ring he just parties and just like drinks and just lets sort of go a little bit. That's there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that the disciplined comments have been with him for his entire career. So I'm not surprised at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the zone, they definitely with her too, which is deep.
His insights are so funny. He was trying to give insights.
He was trying. I bless him. He was trying, but the brain wasn't having it, man. The brain wasn't having it.
He was finished.
Yeah, he was fried. That is hilarious. Apart from that, flows. It's not really much been going on. It's pretty much the usual, isn't it? Really.
Shields and Balgarner going at it.
Saw that again. It's a pointless. Yeah. It's pointless because they're just too far apart in weight.
I'm hearing more people clamoring for it now. You know.
I'm not surprised, Flo, because it the needle looks real, but I just looking at the optics of it. Unless they can agree on the one, like let's say 150-pound catch weight.
Yeah.
Balgarner saying she wants it to come to 147. Flo says, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Like, I'm not coming. That's way too. Like, she fights at what 160, 168. So it's just it's long. So it makes sense. I've either got to 154, like, or fight meet in the middle of 150. But
I think that was our issue with it this whole time.
The whole time was It's just I just didn't see how realistic it was. Like, I know they'll do. I know they want. I would love to do it.
Yeah,
and there's money in it. So maybe they might make it happen because there's money in it. But the weight difference is just a bit long, man. I just think I think Alicia's just too small. Like, Shields is a big, like, she's a big, but I would say she's a lot bigger than her. Alicia's petite compared to her, man.
Gonna keep frying. This ain't gonna end.
Oh, no, they'll keep going at it. Clarissa is relentless as well, and clearly we can see AB is as well. So they're gonna keep, you know, drawing and whatnot. But yeah, it's just unfortunate that they're just so far apart and wait. It is what it is.
Slight blood.
These two were friends, you know. They were brethren. See,
cool, supporting each other.
Hey, Flo. Sometimes the brethren's got a fight afterwards. You piece it up, huh? And this doesn't just apply to boxing. That's all I'm gonna say. Ain't no apologies. Ain't no apologies. You rock out, and then that's it. Afterwards, you can piece up. That's it.
People follow different paths, man. Anyway.
Oh, folks, let's call it a day there, man. Let's wrap up there, man. This has been episode 190 of the Track Season Podcast. Once again, I'm your boy, Cam.
I'm your boy, Flo.
And make sure you keep supporting and write up them streams. Peace.